Our gospel story today talks about a very commonplace event under very uncommon circumstances. The event, a Sabbath synagogue service. The community is gathered as usual, and Jesus is among them, and that's not out of the ordinary. He was often, probably almost always, in synagogue on the Sabbath. And here he is in his hometown, following the Sabbath customs of the people that he grew up with. And usually someone stood to do a reading and then gave some kind of comments after that reading. All very standard expectations. But there were some uncommon circumstances surrounding this particular Sabbath service. We're told that Jesus is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he's already been preaching in other synagogues in the Galilean countryside, and good reports have been following wherever he's gone. So while it's normal to have the townspeople all together on Sabbath and to have a man stand up to read, they may not be quite aware of just what to expect from Joseph's son. Now, just prior to this part of Luke's story, Jesus has been baptized by John in the Jordan. He had the Holy Spirit descend on him like a dove. He heard the Father's voice telling him he was the beloved Son, in whom that Father was well pleased. Then he's drawn into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and tempted by Satan. And Luke and Matthew both talk to us about what those temptations exactly were. Temptations to pleasure and power, even idolatry. But Jesus does not succumb to any of them. Instead, he goes back to his home country and begins the mission that he has set out to accomplish. He has discerned his Father's will, and he goes forth preaching and teaching in the power of the Lord. Now keep this in mind as we hear what happens next, because what happens when he goes to the synagogue on Sabbath is not exactly what anybody expected. Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, is given the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And then Jesus, filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, finds the place where it's written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And filled with the Holy Spirit, he finds the exact place in Isaiah chapter 61 where the actions of the Spirit are so defined. The Holy Spirit, who has invigorated him and sent him on mission, and he must find the way to express exactly what that mission will entail. And slowly he unrolls that scroll, reads, rolls it back up, and gives it to the attendant, and he sits down. Is it any wonder that all the eyes are fixed on him at that point? What will he say next? After all, the people expected that whatever the speaker was going to say that day, it would have some kind of a comment about what he just read. They expected that the speaker would apply those verses somehow to the religious, political, or ethical questions of their day. Preaching involved making an ancient story and the wisdom of the prophets, in this case, come alive for them. And as they waited for that interpretation, the interpretation of those ancient words, they expected that it would have something to do with the promise of the Messiah, because that's what that passage had always meant. Something about who the Messiah was and what he would do when he got there. So the people must have been thinking, would he address the occupation and the oppression of the Roman armies and the Roman Empire? Or maybe would he talk about his own ministry already begun? What would Jesus say? What would this neighbor of theirs say? It's no wonder that the atmosphere was crackling with expectation. Now, Jesus might have preached on the wisdom of the old prophet Isaiah, talking about the past, talking about the perennial longing in the world for justice and freedom, for healing. Or he might have spoken about the world to come. We, along with Isaiah, await the fulfillment of this glorious promise someday. The poor lifted up, captives freed, the blind seeing. Oh, how we long for that, how we pray for that, but oh, how slow it seems in coming. He could have done either of those two things, but he didn't do either of those. He didn't talk about their past hopes. He didn't talk about future hopes. Instead, he said to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. And they were shocked. They were shocked. What do you mean that the Spirit of the Lord is here? Now, today, that the poor hear good news, that the blind see, prisoners are released, that the oppressed receive justice. This is the year of the Lord's favor? Haven't you been watching the news, Jesus? How horrible things are, how there's inequality all over, more people unjustly in prison, more illnesses of all sorts, more violence and terrorism than our ancestors ever knew. This now, today is the kingdom of God? You really can't be serious. And yet, he said, today this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Not yesterday. You don't have to wait for it tomorrow. Today. And this is all happening just a couple of chapters after Luke has described a scene that we all celebrated Christmas. He's the one who shows us Jesus born in a stable, visited by shepherds, sung about by angels. And yet that scene which we have made so cozy and so glowing took place in the same culture, under the same circumstances of occupation by a foreign power as the story we just heard. Hope springs eternal. And that baby has grown to become the man that we see and hear in this gospel today. And he appears now in the story to let everyone know in no uncertain terms that God's Spirit is alive and well and at work in him and through him to declare that Isaiah has written here something that has been accomplished today. The theologian Diana Butler Bass has studied parish life and writes eloquently of what she has observed in today's Episcopal churches. And she writes this: faith communities are often concerned with the memories of the past and the hopes for the future. Speaking of the past may take a form of maintaining buildings and structures, teaching ancient texts, passing on patterns of life and values from our forebears. Speaking of the future is often wrapped up in the hopes for salvation and eternal life, desires for answered prayers, for the children to hold on to faith or come back to the church. Both past and future are important to vibrant communities. Healthy and life-giving practices of honoring our ancestors and embracing a hopeful future derive from the witness of the entire biblical tradition. But both past and future as the primary location of faith have shadow sides too. Overemphasizing the past results in nostalgia. The belief that the past is somehow better than either the present or the future could be. It's a disposition that's steeped in grief and fear. On the other hand, overemphasizing the future, the belief that all that matters is what is to come, often results in thwarted hope and doubt and anxiety. She continues, today is a deeply dangerous spiritual reality because today insists that we lay aside both the memories and the dreams to embrace fully what's in the moment now. The past romanticizes the work of our ancestors. The future scans the horizon of our descendants and depends on them to fix everything. But today places us in the midst of the sacred drama, reminding us that we are actors and agents in God's desire for the world. And in listening again to the gospel that we just heard for today, we would say that today, perhaps, is the most radical thing that Jesus ever said. Today. What Jesus is saying is this: look around, friends. See the Spirit of God at work right here, right now. God is with us. This is the sign of God's covenant. The ever-active, ever-loving, ever-liberating, always present God is here with us now. I think what she means by all this is, in effect, Jesus is asking us to open our eyes, to have our sight opened, to become more attentive to God's promises. No matter how awful we think our current circumstances are, God is still active now, today. In a very real way, the Spirit was powerfully upon Jesus, but it was also upon his friends and his neighbors too. For Jesus was one of them. And by emphasizing the word today, Jesus transformed Isaiah's prophecy into a powerful invitation for the whole community to act in behalf of God's justice. The text might instead read for us, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon us, because the Spirit has anointed us to bring good news to the poor. The Spirit has sent us to proclaim release to captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to have us proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And as we celebrate this feast of St. Luke, our patron today, let's take a look around at what we are doing and see how that prophecy includes us, how today it is being fulfilled in our midst. In the past 3 years or more, you as a parish have done some deep soul searching, some very serious work, and have indicated the ways that you see the Holy Spirit active in your midst and through you. You've discerned the call you have as a parish in this location, in this day and age, to serve others, both within the parish and those in the greater community. You do reach out to help those in need. You are compassionate and caring. And the work which the Holy Spirit has begun here does continue to go on and on and on. I myself feel very privileged to have been called into this parish to help this work be further realized. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is upon us, all of us, to continue the work that Isaiah foretold so long ago, to continue the work that Jesus claimed as his own, to continue the work of making God's kingdom a greater reality here in Lebanon County, in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, in the country of the United States, in the world. And living out God's promise is not about what was done in the past. It's not about waiting for the second coming of Christ. It's about now. Right now, Jesus' sermon remains clear and poignant and important and urgent, just as it was when he first proclaimed it. Today, this promise is being fulfilled in your hearing. We have what we need. We have who we need. The Holy Spirit. Today, right here. So now, go, believe, and do.